This'll sound mad, but every time I touch a plant, it's like I can feel what they're feeling.
Charlie, look at me, not the plant. Took a while to track you down.
Is she house trained?
Fight, Charlie!
This is my niece.
All right.
What is it with this place and pumpkins?
Ready for the contest?
I'm going to win.
And thrilled to be speaking with you, everybody. My name is Mark Chappardini. Thank you so much for coming back to the Go See Talk podcast experience. I hope your day is going well. Hope the week is wonderful. But you know, when you're working in creative circles, you might ask yourself in a narrative sense, where do we go from here? How do we grow as film fans? And I tell you, one guy who's going to take you through the apocalypse is John McPhail, a sing-songy, hair-twitching, having fun kind of guy. He's the kind of guy we want to watch movies with, and he makes the stuff we love. So, John, thank you so much for coming to the show. How are things in your world?
Oh, dude, no, my world is fabulous, absolutely fabulous. No, I'm living the dream, man. I'm living the dream. Just got to make a really, really fun film that's coming out, getting a theatrical release in the US and a volatile theatrical market. Like, so yeah, no, I'm living the dream, man.
I have to go back to La La Land meets Shaun of the Dead when a friend of ours, Alex Billington, came up with that pull quote for you. From sing-songy brilliance to growing magnificence, I think, you know, you add a charm and a vitality and a fun factor to the projects you're in. How do you, one, reach out and grab that type of film, and then two, you know, hold on to it and see it through to the bitter end?
For me, it's always character. Like, you know, as like we said, we Anna and stuff like that. It was all full of character. Like, and it was the thing about it was ridiculous. It was absurd, but there was a lot of grounded and real relationships and real characters. And with Grow, like I found that as well, which is you've got this really unconventional mother daughter story between Charlie and Dinah. And means that like that's going to ground it. It's what people are going to be rooting for is them coming together, which means all these other big silly fun characters can be fireworks just popping off all around them. And that's what I always kind of go for films. Things that I know that like I'm a big believer in. If I can make you laugh, I can make you cry, and if I can make you cry, I can really make you laugh. So like, so I'm always sort of playing in that sort of space that like that I'm trying to, as I say, sort of, I'm not like, you know, I want to tug on your heartstrings, but I want to make you laugh, and I want to tug on your heartstrings, and I want to make you laugh again. That's just kind of, that's all I ever want to do. Audiences are all I care about in film. Like, it's not, these are not all my art, my play. Look at me as a filmmaker. Like I'm here to make entertainment for people, and that's all I ever want to do. And I just want to entertain people. And like, I feel like this script, you know, it suited my sensibilities and the things that I wanted to be doing, the films I wanted to be making. So yeah.
Well, I do love that dynamic between Charlie and Dinah, just because, you know, she does want something, and Charlie, you know, she's growing into her own, like literally, physically, and mentally. But like, you know, the ability to control grass and help something grow—it's almost kind of funny how she's manifesting a growth in her family while she's able to grow the magic. And so there's not really a question there. It's so much fun to explore these things you put into something that, you know, you go into it, you might think it's a kid's movie, but there's really, like you said, so many great topics and things coming together. It's like, again, no question, just round of applause.
Oh, but you're right. Like again, it's a family movie, and like family is at the center of it. And we live in the 21st century, and family's not like the, you know, the wife, husband, and, you know, two kids. You know, like, you know, that's not the family dynamic anymore. It is in some places, but like, you know, family is what you make of it as well. And you know, like you said, even with Charlie, with the sort of the nurturing, and it's the same with her aunt. Like she loved nurturing, and she has this like ability and want to nurture. And Charlie's got this hidden potential of it. So it's like, it's the two of them connecting that sort of reignites that, or sort of grows all that out of them as well, which again, I think is a lot of fun to play with.
Well, coming from a kid's point of view, it's funny what my daughters saw that I didn't see, or at least focused on. And my oldest wanted me to ask you, please tell me what's going on with Mr. Gregory's hair. Is it a blue streak on purpose? Was it like a chemical accident? Was it just something his character came up with?
We just wanted to make him feel like a mad scientist, like a proper fun, ridiculous mad scientist, but like a mad scientist you get to kind of see the other side of, in the sense that it's like, he is the villain, but there's a obviously he's trying to do it for his family, like, you know what I mean, like, and so it's having that sort of depth to the character again, as I say, the silly caricature of the posh couple. Like, I didn't want them just to be posh idiots. I wanted them to be posh weirdos, you know what I mean? Like, because there's something really funny about posh weirdos, whereas posh idiots are kind of like, yeah, like, if that makes sense. Like, there's just, yeah, there's something fun about that. So Mr. Gregory, yeah, we've done it because, again, we're trying to, as I say, sort of play into the mad scientist vibe for him.
Well, I think, a movie like this does what something like Scooby-Doo does. It gives you a tiny bit of suspense or nervousness, and then it becomes, kind of not sing-songy, but it's very playful. And I've just, how far, it always seems like something like this, you always want to show people that companies and conglomerates are bad. So it's nice that you paint the scientists in like a shadow of a big company, and you show that the company is wrong, but the people are not necessarily wrong. They're conflicted. It's nice to have that dynamic.
I mean, you wanted to have that big sort of like, I mean, we have an eco message in here, but again, I was never one to slap anybody around the face. But there was a couple of lines in there that were quite, when Arlo's talking about the state of the world, there was stuff in there about, like, nature and the earth and temperatures. And when me and my editor were there, we were talking, and he'd sort of made a thing, which is he's a dad, and he's like, I don't want my kids sitting thinking about that in the cinema, and I don't want to be reminded about it either. And it's like, and we were talking about taking that, as I say, like, do we really push it? Do we push it a bit harder on these places, or do we just sort of let it hang there? And as I say, like, there's an eco message here, and I want kids to sort of, think about the plants and nature all around them, but not saying to them, be good to plants and, do this, and everybody else is bad, and this is only going to affect, kids don't need to hear that. They won't hear that. They'll just be like, like, that little girl talks to plants, and, she loves plants, and she's nurturing, and hopefully it sort of sparks a little bit of, nurturing, and as I say, like, just maybe a different perspective. Since Toy Story, I sometimes think that my action figures talk, like, do they, when I leave the room, do they, like, so kids hopefully are going to maybe think that, plants have good feelings.
I'm so glad you mentioned that. Even though I know it's not true, whenever I leave my daughter's room, if there's any toys that are kind of sitting on their head, I think to myself, let's sit them upright just in case they do come to life. They don't want to have a crimped neck. It's, a sensible thing to do.
You know what I mean? It's like, there's still certain things as an adult you went, why am I thinking this? Like, I shouldn't think like you can't think like that. Do you know one thing that, like, this is completely off topic? I don't know if you've got this. But you know, when you're cooking, have you got a favorite hob?
What's a hob?
Like the have you don't you know like when you're making something in the oven on the top of it? No, you just don't have that. You don't have hobs. Like the
Don't think
ring,
so, no.
like the ring of fire.
Oh, well, I have an electric stove, electric range, so.
Have you got an? But have you got a favorite electric part then? The one that you always use.
Yes, I do.
You ever feel guilty for the other three that this is clearly your favorite?
No, I think they're just right sized. I think that's what it comes down to, is the efficiency of
That's why I
it.
always feel guilty.
Well, don't tell your other Hobbs that you have a favorite. It'll make them, jealous. But
Sorry, Mark. I'm sorry I derailed this.
no, this is fun. I spoke to Ella Hunt about Anne and the Apocalypse, and we talked about how much rehearsal time, and she laughed and she goes, "We had no rehearsal time. It was just like boom, 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 bang, bang, bang." So you're working with two kids, both Charlie and Oliver. And so I'm wondering, how much rehearsal do you have to take with a kid to get them invested in the world? And was the shooting time frame different for something like this versus Anna?
It was the same thing. I'd done the exact same thing as I'd done with the kids with Anna, which were the kids, the young actors, they did have rehearsal time. Ella, we had like, but it was very limited. What we would do is we'd sort of like, we had certain scenes that we could rehearse out because we with the cast that we had, and we booked them in, and we walked them through. We talked about the blocking and what it would feel like, what it would mean. It's the same here where I would sort of, I had for my rehearsals, I had Oliver, Golda, and Priya. That was my three. So it was just working around their scenes, talking about them, but also talking about other scenes, like how we're going to feel here and how we're going to do. But the same thing as what I'd done like on day one, like same as on Anna, is we do a day, we did a day of clown. Or like a morning of clown, and it's just clown exercises as well. So clown, not as in like the shh, like it's not that clown. It's like using your body. It's about your physicality. So it's more like mime. It's like telling a story through your body. And what I'm trying to do is I'm just trying to get the kids, even Golda as well. We sort of think about how do you walk, like you know your character has a walk. Like it's not you that's walking anymore, it's them. How do they walk? And like you may see that in Anna, which is like Sarah Swire's got this little shuffle, like this sort of bouncy walk, and you know, Chris has got this little shuffle. Like, you know, physicality is important. And like I wanted them to think about how they hold their bodies, if they're talking, if they're confident, how they do that. But within that, you play a lot of games where like we look silly. Like so for the kids and even with Golda as well, like we're playing these fun games and we're all being silly. So there's a thing that's called a moo off, where two people get down on all fours and they look at each other and moo, and the first one to laugh is out. You know, it's really, really silly. But the two kids are watching the director and the lead actress mooing at each other. Like, how silly do we look? Like we all look silly. We're all the same. We're all, you know, from the like, and it allows us all to sort of like just lose any like sort of trepidation or worry that this is a free space. It's okay to be silly. It's okay to be fun, and it's okay to try things. As I say, first day of rehearsals for the same as Anna, a morning a clown. We do some fun. We think about our physicality. We're silly, and then yeah. We got on with the real rehearsals, which is just getting into the script and talking about the dialogue and checking that we're happy. And yeah, and there's nothing we want to change. So yeah.
Well, I'm so glad you told me that, because Anna told me nothing about that, or I'll say Ella told me nothing about that. I'm glad I heard it from, the horse's mouth, so to speak, or the cow's mouth, so to speak.
Used to do like that, like she's talking those in the mornings. They used to go into the gym hall because it was in a school, and they'd put out all the crash mats and they'd play AC/DC and jump around shooting each other with Nerf guns. Like that was their warm up. Like because they're kids, they're supposed to be teenagers. Like what are teenagers gonna do? Is like put on AC/DC and have a Nerf gun fight. Like you know. Like, and they wanted to shoot each other in slow motion and all that. Like, blah, like, and for me, I'm encouraging it because I want them to be silly. I want them to be running around the halls laughing and giggling like they're at high school because that's what they're supposed to be.
Well, you know what this film brought back? At the end, you've got a gag reel, like spoof reel, kids having fun. You capture, of course, spirit of everybody, whether it's Nick Frost or Priya. And so I'm curious, seems like you had a lot of those sequences to sort of put in. I guess how often did the cast break or mess up? Was it just a very comfortable situation?
Oh, like not to say like they like there was lots of like you know messing up, but like everybody wanted to have fun, and that was one thing about it. Like, you can see that like we're all having fun. Like the crew, like honestly, this was the nicest set I've ever been on. Everybody just wanted to have fun. Everybody just wanted to have a nice like a good day at work. Even on our like even on our bad days, we laughed through them all. The Nick Frost and Golda. They never left set. They never went to their trailers. They were always on set. They just wanted to hang about with the crew. They just wanted to have fun. Just wanted to have a laugh. And like they did. Like, and again, the crew love it. Like there's Golda Roja-Vell and Nick Frost, you know, having banter with them every single day. Like, and when you're sort of two big stars and sort of like big leads are like that, like the rest of them follow suit. Like no, none of them want to be the ones to go to their trailers or anything like that. They all want to hang about on set as well. They all want to have a laugh. All, like so, all of a sudden, you've just got everybody having like as I say, like a great time. So, and those sort of gag reels always sort of hark back to movies I used to love. Like when the trailers would come up and you've got the, you kind of feel part of it. You get to see behind the curtain a little bit, it looks like it was fun to make. And if you can sort of like get people leaving the cinema like tapping their feet along to like a fun tune like Rusted Roots and as I say, seeing that we peek behind the curtain and feeling like a little bit part of it, like I hope they leave the cinema and they go, I love that film, like and if, I feel connected a little bit to that film because of everything I've kind of gone through and that sort of attachment I've now got to it, so that they go and tell their friends, go and see this film, it's great fun, the kids are going to love it, I loved it, they loved it, you're going to come out feeling great, and that's the word of mouth that you hope that's going to spread around with it.
I can see from your excitement and your demeanor that this doesn't mean a lot to you. And I've read that this is your proudest work to date. But do you love it because this lets you tap into, just a tiniest bit of horror because you're a horror fan and you love the holidays, or was it really just the family dynamic you were going for?
Not like it genuinely is a family dynamic. Like again, well, I also grew like my grew up watching movies with my parents. Like my mum used to tape movies off the TV. My dad would take us down to Blockbuster on a Friday night, and and we'd rent movies and we'd all watch movies together. That was our thing. And whenever I watched like the Goonies or like the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles or like Short Circuit, E.T., I always kind of just get transported back to being in my parents' living room, huddled around the TV, watching, whatever it was. And like I would hope that in years to come that this film does that with people. It transports them back to that sort of like laughing along with their parents or, getting scared at the bits that are now funny. Like that's the dream for it. Like for me anyway, like is that it's people are going to enjoy it. It's going to be part of their rotation, part of their family experience, a part of their family viewing experience. And that, as I say, that when else do you get the opportunity to make kids and parents laugh together, like and enjoy that kind of like that silliness? Like that's what you want. That's that connection.
Well, I'll tell you, my favorite part of the movie is the mechanical pumpkin. Just really surprised me. It came out of nowhere. Curious, what is your favorite takeaway? If you could just dial it down to one.
Oh, like there's loads. Like I love the safari park. Like the safari park is one of my favorite sequences. Like, because I know kids love it as well. Because it's got lions, it's got poo, it's got a man picking up, smelling the poo, tasting the poo. Like, it's horrible. And like the fact of the go, Dinah and Charlie are both in like little lilac tops. Like, they're mirroring each other. Like they're getting so close that they're kind of almost like looking the same. And the kid's in a like zebra top, and they're in the middle of a safari, or like a lion enclosure. It's like, yeah, it's great fun. Great fun.
And you had to put the reflection of the front windscreen, which wasn't there. I saw that in the sort of outtakes at the end. The fact that wasn't in you all that special effects, and those things are seamless. I like that you're able to do things to expand the mystery and the illusion. Just like, and people may not even notice it, but it's those intangible elements that you like really pride yourself on.
I couldn't afford the
Yeah, sure.
Well, when I went in to do it, I knew what I was like. I was like, they were like, "How are we going to shoot the lion?" And I went, "Well, we're not going to get a lion. Like that's mental. Like, but what we can do is we can shoot through the glass, and we can have like the standby props, the P team, like move the car so it's like the thing's climbing on it, and then we have a bit of fun with the VFX, like which can hide any sort of like mad detail, and as I say, it's enough to play on their faces. They didn't remember me. Ah! It's fun.
Well, John, I've had fun. I know my family did, and I'm sure this will grow on people. So I'm excited for people to check it out and just to see your face smile as does the rest of the cast, because it seems like you guys had a ball. So thank you, John, for your time, and we'll catch you next time.
No, thanks, Mark. I really, really appreciate it.
Unexpected. It's Charlie Little.
Whatever happens, so proud of you.
Go on then, Sensei. Let's see what your magical green fingers feel.
It's huge.
You gotta grow harder, go home.